Can you remember then attending any of the large, other large, any large weddings or?
No, we didn't attend none of these big weddings because at that time, I don't know, you didn't get the invitations like you do now.
Do you think they kept it more to just their families?
I think so.
What about shiverees? Did you ever go to a shiveree?
Well, I didn't go to any, but I heard about a lot of them. My daddy loved to go to them. He went a lot.
What did a shiveree mean?
Well, they'd go say it like somebody had get married or get married the second time, and then they'd go take music and wash tops and old buckets and things, make noise for the couple to keep it, make them come out, and they'd come out, and then they'd serve them either something to drink or something to eat. And that was something like, I guess you'd call it a party for them.
But it was always a second marriage?
Yes, that when they had that chivalry, you got that when you got married the second time.
How about parties and receptions? What kind of parties did you go to?
Well, we had these home parties where they'd have ice cream and cake and just dance, you know, with a little some kind of music, home music like that. One would play a little music. And
well, who would come to these home parties?
Well, like the friends, girlfriends, mostly. After they got older, there was a few boys asked, but then mostly just the girl parties.
And these were your neighbors?
Neighbors and friends.
What day of the week did you do this?
Sundays most of the time, on Sunday afternoons or either Saturday evenings.
How often did you do this?
Well, that usually maybe be for somebody's birthday or for somebody's graduation or something like that. You know, it wasn't big like we have stuff now. The parents just had a little something for the children at home. Make homemade ice cream and have cake. And
so this was part of your entertainment.
Yes.
Your fun was your parties at home.
Yes, and then get together like kids do and put old clothes on and play house and parties and play like you're going to dances and stuff. Just play like, because they wouldn't let us go to, the parents would take us after we got older to the dances and we'd have to go home with them.
So when you'd go to the dances then, as an older girl, your parents took you and took you home.
That's right.
How often did you go to dances?
That was for holidays, like Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, just the big holidays. We didn't have any dances in between.
How long did these dances last?
Usually till 5 in the morning if you stayed.
And
it'd start early and last till in the morning. But we usually went home about 1 o'clock because we'd get home. They had milk cows and feed the animals.
Do you remember any of the orchestras that played?
Mm-hmm. Gene Arts. Old Arts was one of them. That's about as much as I can remember the big bands.
All right. What dance hall did you usually go to?
Well, when I went, it was upstairs.
But where? What building?
at Wernitz. Well, and then they had the Wernitz Garden too at first, where you could go dance. But at that time, I wasn't allowed to go much yet. But most of my dancing I done was upstairs in that Wernitz dance hall.
Which is, was the L.M. Condrey store.
Uh-huh.
And what these were, this was on special,
okay,
special occasions.
Yeah. Like Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving.
What did you wear? What kind of dress?
Well, some, we could wear anything. Mostly they wore, some wore long dresses, the skirts and a blouse, and some wore the, just a plain short dress.
What color usually? All colors?
All colors and flowers, big flowers for the dances, and ribbons in the hair, and, you know, big bows.
Kind of special.
Special, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned the Bates Hotel had a dance hall also. Did you ever go to a dance there?
Well, we'd go there. Because it was right close, but I went with my parents.
Well,
that was just, they called it the Mayflower at first.
Yes.
It was just right on that place where Charlie's house is.
Charles W.C. Sr. How often did they have dances there?
Just on holidays. And later on, when Frank Burl owned it, when he bought it from the place, well, then he'd have it more often.
But at about what year was that? Do you have any idea when they? Well, what I'm trying to establish is when they had these dances just on special occasions, up to a certain time. Like, say, was this in 1910, 1915? Somewhere in there? You're not sure?
You mean on top?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that would be about 1912.
That was at the Wernitz Hall.
Yeah, about 1913, 1914, that somewhere in there. And then that one for the Bates, that was when I was, I guess, about 8, 9 years old. My parents would take me, well, that would take me along. That would have been, let's see, when I was 1898, when I was 6, that would have been.
Oh, about 1905, 19,
yeah.
Somewhere like, okay. You mentioned the Kinnick Park or Wernitz Garden Hall.
Yeah.
Which is now Kinnick Park.
Mm-hmm.
Going to dances there. What time of the year, what dates did you go to dances there?
Well, that was during holidays too. But you know, and when I was younger, they had them dances, and we wasn't allowed to go,
mm-hmm.
You know.
So you, go ahead.
After that, on to the, what they called, they changed it, and Trackhasters had it after. It changed from Wernitz Garden. Well, it was still Wernitz Garden, but the Trackhasters run it. And that time, then I could go, because at that time it was growing up.
Did you ever attend any St. Louis dances, St. Louis celebration dances there?
I never
you
went
never
to the dance.
So you had You say you had usually cousins, and you had a lot of relatives.
Yes. Lots of them came from San Antonio to visit with us. And all my aunts, after they were married, they'd come dance at this Wernitz Garden and at Wernitz after it was upstairs.
Did they stay with you then?
They'd come and stay all night with us.
The funerals, of course, the burials are certainly different today than they were years ago. Do you remember the funerals when they had what they called a wake, where they stayed at the house? Would you describe how this was?
Well, see, Grandma Fry is one that I can remember good. And you'd stay all night, watch, and then you kept them in your house because at that time they didn't have undertakers or whatever you got.
So the body was at the home?
At the home.
Well, who sat up with the body?
Well, they'd have neighbors and well, the kin folks would stay there too, but mostly neighbors to sit up all night or good friends or somebody.
Did the neighbors bring any food or?
Yes, they always got together. Everybody bring food and help each other that way.
And after the funeral, what happened then?
After the funerals, they didn't have just the kin folks, say, that came from far that would eat at the house. But they wouldn't have nothing, you know, like they do now.
Did, say you had a person in the family that was very, very sick. Tell me about the priest visiting the home.
Well, I can remember when Father Keir, he'd go, Father Keir would go visit the sick, you know, if somebody got real sick, you'd call him and he'd come. He had a buggy and a horse and he'd come.
Was there anything you had to prepare before he got there?
You had to have all that stuff ready that they use. They bring it along now when they come to your house, but then you had to have the statue, you know, the little cross, and for holy water, and the candle, and the match, you know, to light it, and little cloths to wipe your hands. You had to have that all on a little table.
This was in, so when in, to bless the person
yes,
that was sick.
That was sick. Or if they would hear confession or, you know, call it the last sacrament or, you know, like they do now.
So the difference there is that now, instead of you having to prepare these things in case you have a very ill person at home, the priest is prepared.
Yes.
And I suppose also that now there people are usually in the hospital, so
yes,
it's much different.
Uh-huh.
What about baptisms? Mm-hmm. Were they always held when the baby was real small as they are in present day?
It seemed like even sooner than now. They didn't wait as soon as the child was born. That's about the first thing they thought about is did it baptize.
How did they usually choose godparents?
Well, it depends just what whoever they decided. Like when my godparents was picked on the same day when my aunt and uncle got married, they stood up for their wedding, and then in the evening I was baptized and had the same Mr. and Miss Hutzler for my godmother and godfather at the same time. Oh. But people had their own choice to do that.
Did the family have any sort of a celebration after a baptism?
I guess, like, maybe a little coffee and cake. They didn't have big stuff in it.
So the difference there again is...
And the same thing for communion. You didn't have a big, you know, bunch together for graduation or communion and stuff like that in them days. Just more the family, the close ones.
When did you make your communion?
In 1910.
And so you were...
And I was a big crowd. We had a big crowd. That was Father Heckman's first time Father Heckman had his...
Had a communion class?
Uh-huh.
What preparation did you go through to before you made your communion?
Well, we had to go to confession. We couldn't drink water. And we had at 12 o'clock.
Midnight?
At midnight. We couldn't eat nothing, couldn't drink nothing. And we had to stay quiet. I'd be noisy and do lots of praying, kneeling in church. It's kind of hard.
That was the day before you made your communion. Okay?
And you wasn't supposed to talk to people, you know, just kind mm-hmm. of be quiet.
Okay, then tell me about what kind of a ceremony they held then when you made your communion. What happened first when you got to church?
Well, we'd wear our white dresses and a little reed and veil, mm-hmm. and we carried a candle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'd walk up the aisle, and they'd have chairs for as many as we had to go. Each one had a chair. And then you'd go up to the altar, and then after Mass started, like church, then you could go sit in your seat. And then when it come again, we had to walk up in front, and they gave us communion. We had the Mass first, you know, and then to communion. And then after that, each one got a plaque, I guess you'd call it, a picture.
Or a certificate.
Certificate.
Was there a bench reserved for your family next to your seat?
No, but then usually the parents all come up, you know, kind of to the bench where your children were.
Did you make more than one communion? Like a first communion and a solemn communion?
When I went.
Well, then what was this communion called that you made?
First communion.
They didn't call it solemn communion.
Yeah, that's it, solemn communion. You didn't have any other till you made the solemn.
And
then after that, you were supposed to go every month or for Easter. Once a year you had to go. If you didn't go that once a year, you didn't belong to church.
You mean go to confession and communion?
And communion, and that had to be before Easter.
Otherwise?
Before Easter Sunday. And if you didn't do that, you didn't belong to church.
That's interesting. Before you went into church, did the congregation meet you, or did you?
Yes, we had I guess, like now, St. Anne's at that time, you know, the flags, they'd meet us with the flags out outside the church, and then the bells would ring, and we'd march in.
And they would lead the procession, the saints, and bring the children to church.
Yeah, and the boys were in the lead, and the girls followed. And at that time, we were all a big bunch. I had a picture, but they got it at home. Alma won't give up now.
How many, do you have any idea how many children there were in that group?
You know what? Now, who? Mrs. Bob Reen, he was one of them. Bob Reen was, she'd have a picture, and I guess one could count them. I just can't.
Okay.
But we were a big bunch.
Okay. How long did you have to go to instructions before you made your communion?
We'd have to go from October the 1st to May, usually around the 10th of May.
And who gave you the instructions?
Father.
The priest.
Did you
and go?
And then, of course, the nuns helped us during school with catechism. We had that every day. Them days, we still had religion in school.
How many days a week did you go to this instruction by the priest?
Twice. We'd go on Wednesdays and on Fridays.
All right. After your communion, you had made your first communion, after church was over, then when you went home, did you have any kind of family party?
Yes, and we had a family, you know, the close family dinner. And after dinner, we had at 2 o'clock, we had to go back and have Vespers. Time they had Vespers in the afternoon. We had high mass in the morning, and then church back again at 3 o'clock.
What time was that high mass? Do you remember about?
I guess that would have been at 9.
So then, in other words, you fasted from midnight the night before until after your communion ceremony was over.
Yes.
And that's no food and no water.
And not even a drink.
They don't think.
And if you took a drink of water or even took a bite of something to eat, you couldn't go take communion. You had to wait till the next day.
So it was very, very serious. It was a serious matter, strict. Then was there any other ceremonies that day besides after Vespers was over?
No. That was Sunday. Every Sunday we had morning at first day, I guess, 9, and then afternoon was 3 o'clock.
And did you get any gifts when you made your communion?
Yeah, again, folks, it was little gifts.
And you said you wore a white dress?
White dress and a little veil.
Mm-hmm.
And a little wreath. Now they don't wear them veils no more. The children.
What about your confirmation? Did you make your confirmation?
Yes, but we didn't have to wear a reading. We just wore our white dress and had to have a candle too.
Do you remember yours very well?
Yes, we went right. Them days you went right away. That was on Monday morning.
The bishop was there the next day.
See, like if we made communion on Sunday, you'd be confirmed on Monday.
Do you remember who the bishop was?
Yeah, I should. But... Well, who was the one that was here when Father Hagman? Who did we have?
I can't answer that, so don't worry about it if you don't know.
I mean, though, I don't. I know it.
Do you think that the confirmation was as important as the communion as far as the church was concerned?
Well, they claimed you were supposed to be confirmed. That was all into the religion.
Did you have a sponsor?
Yes, you had sponsors.
Who was your sponsor?
Oh, Joe Hopp. That was my cousin.
Did you have to have a saint, a confirmation name?
Mm-hmm. We had to have one.
How did you decide on the one that you took?
I think I took Florence was mine.
Did you take that for any special reason?
Just you was allowed to pick a name that she liked.
All right.
And for communion, you had to have two sponsors, a man and a woman.
You had sponsors for communion?
Uh-huh. Two of them. A man and a woman. But for confirmation, the boys had a man and the girls had a woman, a lady.
Did the ceremony for the confirmation last as long as the communion?
Well, see, that was in the morning then. It would last as long because we were so many. But see, it was on Monday morning at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to go through the whole mass. But the communion was morning and afternoon.
Do you remember the Rogation days, or when they used to, or do you remember anything about Rogation days? Did you ever participate in Rogation days?
No.
That was, I think, did you ever go to the Cross Hill?
Oh, yes. We went lots to the Cross Hill. We'd go there during Lent. During Lent, we went a lot of times, and then we'd go pray for rain,
mm-hmm.
and for sick people. We'd go to the Cross Hill a lot.
When you heard the Angelus bell, what did that mean to you, the ringing of the Angelus bell?
Well, I guess that was calling us to come to church.
Okay. All Souls and All Saints Day, what did they usually do at that time of the year?
Well, that was when it just seemed like it. That was for the dead people, just like having their funeral.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go up to the cemetery and pray. We'd walk back, go walk up and walk back,
mm-hmm.
and then have Mass in church. And on All Saints Day, well, we didn't have to go up to the cemetery, but on All Souls, we'd always go up to the cemetery and pray the rosary for the dead, you know.
Right. Did they decorate?
Yes, that was just like going to the funeral for the ones that you had, you know, at the cemetery, and they'd decorated flowers and stuff, but they put the flowers on it on All Saints Day. And then on Souls Day, it seemed like that was the day to mourn for it.
Okay. During Lent, we're trying to find out how the regulations and things have changed. What were some of the things that you can think about that Lent used to be like, and that it's different than it is now? For instance, tell me about eating meat during Lent.
Well, see, you wasn't allowed to eat meat no time during Lent on the Lent days, unless you was pretty old or too old or sick. Them could eat a little meat, but you wasn't supposed to eat no meat, and especially Wednesdays and Fridays was the no meat day. But the other days you could eat a little meat, and you were supposed to cut down on your meals, kind of, do penance. But on Wednesdays and Fridays you couldn't eat no meat, and you'd have a meatless day.
Totally meatless.
And then later on, then it always got a little easier. They got, lenient on you, where you could have a little bit meat once a meal during the other days. But some people just done it for penance. They just hardly eat anything. It cut out candy and